Welcome to Kosher Tidbits. In this installment, we will discuss a lesser-known aspect of keeping kosher. Although the prohibition on eating dairy and meat mixtures is a famous element of Jewish dietary law, many people are unaware that eating fish and meat together is also disallowed. This prohibition is based on a passage in the Talmud that describes the roasting of fish and meat in the same oven at the same time. The fish and meat in this case are not in physical contact. However, the halachic system ascribes significance to reyach, aroma. The aroma of the fish goes into the meat and vice versa. The Talmud, as expounded by the sages, conveys to us that these infusions of aromas transform each food into a dangerous substance. The same is true, of course, when they are in actual physical contact. Joint consumption is considered dangerous, and as such, it is forbidden. If they were heated in physical contact with each other, the danger would obtain even if they'd subsequently be eaten separately. Of course, if we took a poll of the New York Jets, we would undoubtedly discover that some of them have eaten fish and meat together and not lost the capacity to pulverize the Miami Dolphins. How then do we understand the declaration of danger? One of the premier commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, raises the possibility that changes in the environment and or in our physical makeup have perhaps eliminated the danger. This opinion notwithstanding, Jews have not relied on the Magen Avraham's leniency unless it was combined with other mitigating factors. Throughout the centuries, a great deal of ink has been spilled to determine the extent to which we must avoid mingling fish and meat. Must the combination be avoided as rigorously as we avoid combining meat and dairy? If not, can we be less strict, or must we instead be more stringent? For example, one need not wait 6 hours between eating meat and fish. According to Ashkenazi practice, it suffices to do kinuach v'hadacha in between, that is to say, to rinse the mouth and eat something that fulfills the stipulations in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, chapter 89, section 2. Unlike meat and dairy products, many poskim permit meat and fish to be on one's table at the same time. Some say that this leniency has been common practice for centuries. Another question that arose relates to bittul, nullification. In a mixture of dairy and meat, where the volume of the meat, for example, is 60 times the volume of the dairy will usually be considered batel, nullified, thus rendering the mixture permissible. Although the Taz, a premier commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, says that bittul is not relevant to issues of danger, most poskim assume bittul does indeed apply to mixtures of meat and fish. One may not cook dairy in even a clean meat pot and vice versa. Does one need separate utensils for meat and fish? The Taz and other great authorities maintain that even hot fish may be prepared in a clean meat utensil. Still, there are those who choose to have separate utensils. On a related note, it's a given that one would kasher a utensil in which meat and dairy were cooked together. It's not at all certain that this would apply to a utensil in which meat and fish were cooked simultaneously. In case of such an accident, one should consult their local Orthodox rabbi. It will come as no surprise to find out that the OU and other reputable kashrus certifiers forbid mixtures of meat and fish in their certified products. No doubt the kosher consumer has seen several items labeled OU fish. A phenomenon that is puzzling at first glance is the lack of the OU fish symbol on certain jars of Worcestershire sauce, a condiment that contains anchovies by definition. As we discussed, the Magen Avraham raises the possibility that the danger in combining meat and fish may no longer obtain. OU policy will not rely on this opinion alone, as the Chassam Sofer cautions. However, the OU will combine this view with the opinion that Bittel applies to meat and fish. As a result, Worcestershire sauce, in which A, the word fish is written on the label, and B, the fish are halachically nullified, can be OU certified without being required to bear the OU fish symbol. If fish are not mentioned on the label, or if the fish product on the label is something like omega-3 oil, which is not universally known as a red flag for the presence of fish, the label must bear an OU fish symbol. There is actually an exception to this labeling policy. Many OU certified products contain fish gelatin. If the fish gelatin is nullified, we will not require the appearance of the OU fish symbol, even if fish is not listed on the label. This is based on being able to make a strong case that the gelatin is no longer classifiable as fish in Jewish law. This change in status is due to the processing and refining involved in its manufacture. Another labeling puzzle is posed by the OU dairy fish symbol. Since a dairy product will in any event not be eaten with meat, isn't it overkill to add the word fish to the symbol? The justification for the OU dairy fish symbol is as follows. Many Sephardic Jews do not eat dairy and fish together. The OU dairy fish symbol serves to warn them off. Thank you for tuning in to this installment of Kosher Tidbits.